This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
A big Supreme Court decision that you might have missed that affects Indiana University that involves COVID-19 and the vaccine. And how about Simone Biles getting cheers from fans when she returned from the Olympics? A perfect way to end it. She is still the GOAT, people. I love Simone Biles and for her honesty, no doubt. There were some other bright highlights from last week and the week before, I think, in the Olympics, and especially when it comes to the medal count. Woohoo! With Team USA. Wherever you hail from, welcome so much to the show. Kate Delaney, thrilled as always to be with you. Let's talk about what happened at the tail end of last week in case you missed it somehow. This has kind of been buried. There's so many things that are happening. 8 college students were challenging Indiana University's COVID-19 vaccine requirement. They filed an appeal with the Supreme Court asking the justices to consider immunization mandates for the first time since the pandemic began. So in May, giving you some background, Indiana's university, which is public, said that students and faculty would be required to take the vaccine to go to classes in person, with exceptions for religious objections, medical conditions like allergies, and those conducting, you know, online coursework, doing it that way. The appeal comes as our highest court is looking at employers, restaurants, and schools requiring vaccines. I mean, you know, that people are looking at challenges anyway. So 40% of the nation's adult population is not fully vaccinated, and those numbers are rapidly changing. But these are some of the latest ones from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The students filed an emergency appeal at the court asking the justices to block enforcement of the requirement. They said it violates their constitutional rights to bodily integrity under the 14th Amendment. Excuse me, all students are adults and are entitled to make their own medical treatment decisions and have a constitutional right to bodily integrity, autonomy, and of medical treatment choice in the context of a vaccination mandate. That's what the students told the court. I'm quoting exactly. The case is pretty compelling, and one of the most compelling, of course, involving COVID-19 to reach our highest court in the land, the Supreme Court, since its 6-3 conservative majority ruled against a number of orders by governors that applied to churches, synagogues, mosques, etc. Earlier in the pandemic anyway. So in a series of decisions, Associate Justice Amy Coney Barrett joined in October, the court sided with religious entities that challenged state COVID-19 rules, limiting the size of indoor worship services, right? But those regulations affected First Amendment rights, and the court has generally applied a kind of a higher level of scrutiny in those kind of matters. So how about that? The students want the court to use a similar standard in reviewing vaccine mandates. So Indiana's university's requirement has been backed by a federal appeals court. The Chicago-based U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit upheld the requirement in a decision last Monday, citing a 1905 Supreme Court precedent that allowed Massachusetts to impose a penalty on those who declined smallpox vaccinations. And you look at that. A court of appeals has to apply the law established by the Supreme Court, 3 judges, all of whom were nominated by Republican presidents, ruled. But, again, this is interesting. This is massive debate, I think, that's happening here when you look at COVID and moving forward. And, of course, we're all dealing with the Delta variant now at this point. But, again, the big thing here is the Supreme Court has been asked to block Indiana University's COVID-19 vaccine mandate. And look what the Court of Appeals said. So tuck that one away, because we're going to be talking about that coming up in the next couple weeks or so, some of the other challenges that are out there. All right, Simone Biles, I mean, here it is, you know, a brand new week, and Tokyo is in the rearview mirror, but upon arriving to
the states. She was cheered by fans in her hometown of Houston, and her teammate Jordan Chiles, both of them, they said they felt the love when they returned home. About 100 or so supporters with signs and flags were at the George Bush Intercontinental Airport. That's the airport in Houston, cheering her on. It was really a cool sight to see. The Houston Chronicle said that people were making signs for hours. They followed a few of the people that were making signs so that they would have a crew there to greet them. I mean, of course, her family was there. Even her French, did you know she had a French bulldog named Rambo? Rambo was there to greet her. So good for Simone Biles. I mean, it's a very strange thing going through Tokyo and no fans in the stands and, you know, all that sort of stuff. All right, aftermath, right here at the top, let's mention this. California's Dixie Fire just has been a nightmare, has exploded in size. I've been talking about this for like almost a month. It is our largest wildfire. And coming off of last week, it just seemed to explode overnight. A Friday morning of last week was nightmarish. It obliterated Greenville, California. There were some gold rush ties there in the early days of Cali, some historic buildings that went down. And it is now, again, in the history of California, I want you to think about this, the third largest wildfire, and is only less than half percent contained, or less than half contained, 50% contained. So weather conditions are tough. I've talked about firefighters. We've had firefighters on and what that's like. Really catastrophic, just catastrophic. It just makes me sick to look at those photos. I feel fortunate for all of you listening around the country that I know that I have been through there back in California days, because I wanted to see, as other places that I've lived, I wanted to see everything I could in that area, and it is really sad. Of course, it's about human life first, and that's the number one concern of anyone fighting these fires. But how tough and just the exhaustion has to be setting in with those that are doing everything they can to extinguish this fire, which is going to take even longer to put out. All right, it's mask on, mask off, all the whole debate, COVID-19, what's going on with the Delta variant. And we know in the past couple of weeks about 1 in 5 new COVID-19 cases have been reported in the great state of Florida. But the state overall accounts for less than 7% of the U.S. population. Did you know that? I didn't realize that until I saw a statistic on it. I said, okay. One of the things that has happened, and so they continue, lots of testing is going on there. I think more than anything, that's where you see cars are lining up. So as the arguments there are happening and they're running out of bed space, this scares me to death. There was a baby girl with COVID-19 who had to be airlifted 150 miles because of no hospital beds in Houston. So imagine that is your kid, 11 months old, and having to be airlifted that far away to a pediatric bed. And luckily, the good news is the baby made a really good recovery. I mean, that's miraculous. Thank God, seriously, because she tested positive for COVID-19, and at the Harris Health System, you know, they were worried. She was having seizures. She needed to be intubated, where she was first taken. They don't have pediatric services, so all that gets mixed into it. All right, so that's the good news. All right, stay with us. We're hitting the mailbag next.
Over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports Hall of Famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
You have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Once again, thanks for all the email. Remember, anybody listening, you can join the party. I'm always overwhelmed by the amount of email that I get. Seriously, I've worked in New York, our biggest city. I've worked in Dallas, one of our top five cities, and I got email, but never as much as I get from all of you. So I know you listen different times, and I really appreciate that. And people listening overseas, thank you as well. Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. Click on contact, and you are in like that. How about this from William? Hey, Kate Delaney, I can't wait till you really bring the man cave back full force. I always enjoy what you have to say about what's happening with athletes, and I know you're going to have something to say about the upcoming NFL season. And how about the Bills quarterback signing a huge deal? Boy, it's good to be a quarterback. Mama, raise your boys to be quarterbacks. Forget about all this left-handed pitching stuff. I think quarterback is where it's at. What do you say? Yeah, you're talking about Josh Allen, and his deal is, I guess, worth $258 million. This is the part, right? If I was his agent, I'd be all over this. $150 million guaranteed, because anything can happen. I mean, he had a great season. Last year he threw for over 4,500 yards. He had almost 40 touchdowns, and the Bills were impressive. I mean, they were 13-3. And he was the seventh round pick, not the seventh round, he was in the first round, seventh overall pick out of Wyoming, if you remember, back in 2018. And he looked good, but there's no question he had a career year, and quarterbacks are making a lot of money. I mean, the average deals are pretty chunky, and that was the problem with Aaron Rodgers and why he wasn't happy with it. Wasn't about the money, because they never really had gotten there. It was about the treatment. He didn't like the treatment. All right, so thanks for that. Yes, man cave. Full force. We're going to do the NFL. We're going to do Nail the Score. Lots of details in the next couple of weeks coming up about that. All right, Joe is listening to us in West Virginia. He says, Kate, how about Clint Eastwood? You know, those old cheap movie reviews you used to do. I'm wondering if you'll see Cry Macho. I happened to catch a trailer for it, and I looked up trying to figure out how old that Clint Eastwood would be. I think he has got to be somewhere in his 90s. I mean, he is like the Energizer Bunny, just does not quit. Do you think this movie will be any good? Okay, so I saw the trailer too for this, and it he directs it, he stars in it, and it's going to be one of those HBO Max things too. Comes out in like September, and I guess it's about a guy who's been through rough times, and he's gets another challenge, and you know, what does he do? And there's some interesting people in this. You know, Dwight Yoakam, the singer, the country singer, has become an interesting actor, and he's in this. And this is actually, I guess, adapted from a novel in the 70s, a 70s novel that came out. And I don't know, it looks like it could be interesting. I think the premise is that Eastwood used to be a rodeo star, and then he becomes a horse breeder. And then he takes a job from a old boss, and, you know, so on and so forth. And what happens when he's in Mexico, and then he goes to Texas, and some of the challenges. I don't know. It could be good. I do like Clint Eastwood movies. I mean, you know, the Dirty Harry series is still holds up, I think. So I'll see it, and then I'll be able to give you the real skinny on it and give you the full-on review. How's that? Because I certainly have HBO Max. All right, this one is from Greg. And Greg says, Kate, listen to the show. Just started listening a couple of months ago. I love it when people say that to you. So I thought I would just throw in my timeline, too, as discovering you. I was up late one night, and I happened to catch the show, and I thought it was funny, some of what you were talking about, and kind of the way you jumped around. I liked it instead of hearing the same old wah-wah that I hear during the day. Not that it's all bad, but it just gets old when you consistently are hearing the same things over and over and over again. I like when you talk about what's happening with the airlines. It's crazy how things have happened with people melting down, how flights are getting canceled, and you would think that if anything, boy, the airlines would try to make it as smooth as possible, but I guess what can they do with the weather, like you say, and what happens when you don't have the crews and you don't have the pilots? You know, the planes aren't going to fly themselves, so I guess it's luck of the draw. You get there, maybe you get lucky and it's smooth, or maybe you get there and you get kind of jostled around, gates move, and your plane doesn't arrive on time or whatnot. But I think the answer to flying somewhere is to make sure you get nonstop. That's number one. And pack your patience. And make sure that you have alternatives in case it doesn't work out. What do you do? Where are you going? If you've got to spend the night somewhere, it's crazy that people are sleeping again on airport floors. Yeah, sometimes it depends, though. Sometimes what do you do? It's like, oh, it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you got another flight that's leaving at 6 and you're in New York City. You know, you're at LaGuardia Airport or something. And, you know, I've never knock on wood, cross every finger or everything. I've never had to do that. I have had lots of things happen with flights. I've had to be rerouted, offered all kinds of things. I had to stay on an island in Hawaii an extra time and go to a hotel room, and that was okay, though, right? I mean, I'm at a hotel room, so I don't have the luggage, but I'm there. It's tough, boy. I think it's tough. You do just have to prepare. I mean, that's, you know, I think that's ultimately the thing, right? So pack some stuff in the bag that if you've got to crash somewhere, grab one of those neck things, whatever. I mean, it's like I say about the go bag. I used to not make fun of it, but I used to think, oh, that's crazy. I mean, do you really need a go bag? Yes. Yes, you do. With things that happen, how much more peace of mind when you can just grab something up that has all the papers you need in it instead of being in the middle of a flood desperately trying to save whatever you're trying to save, and the focus should be on, you know, life and pets and kids and whatever. But, you know, the reality is you still need your stuff, because then you're going to have to go and go to the bank and go do whatever you have to do. So, yeah, absolutely. Prepared is the way to go when you're traveling. All right, here's one from Max. And Max says, Kate, you know, I listened to what you're talking about with the Delta variant, and I just wonder, and you mentioned it in a previous show, that, you know, there's more mutations certainly that are possible, and I wonder if people are really paying attention to that, because people, this could get a lot worse. I'm hoping it will get better, but there is no real way to know. We're seeing some good signs, and we're seeing that people who are vaccinated, even if they get COVID with this Delta variant, are surviving that, and that's the good news, because then the shots paid off. But there are some people that can't get it, not for conspiracy reasons, but because they're allergic or something else has happened to them. And I feel for what they must go through if they really, really wanted to get the vaccine. I just hope that we come together as a nation and crush this and get that herd immunity and that people pay attention to what's happening and look at the data and listen to the data and who's presenting the data and pay attention as to why things are working and not working. And I really think it's foolishness not to be vaccinated if you can get vaccinated. Not if you have a condition that doesn't allow it. I understand that. But if you do, why wouldn't you get vaccinated? And I have some friends that won't get vaccinated. I have other friends that say they can get a fake vaccination card. Yeah, I've heard about this fake vaccination card. Thanks for that. I've heard, Max, about the facts, the fake vax card. I had lunch with someone the other day that said that their aunt and uncle live in Florida, and they had sailing friends. Like, they have a tiny sailboat, whatever it is, a sunfish, who cares what kind of boat it was. And they went out sailing, and that the couple said they weren't vaccinated, and their doctor said it wasn't safe or something like this. And they didn't ask them about it, but it just came up. But then they said that they had a son in the military, and that where he was, you had to have vaccination proof, and he had gotten a fake vaccination card. Wow. Fake vaccination cards. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised by that, though, right? Because that's bound to happen. You know, where there's a will, there's a way. But, boy, you wonder what that could mean if that person gets it. What does it mean, one, for them? What does it mean for the people around them? And that's the thing. I mean, that, you know, that mantra that has been said for the last 15 months, and I used to say on the show, we're all in this together. I mean, the fact is, we're all in this together, and that's it. We're all in this together. All right, coming up next, I'm going to introduce you to someone who's going to really inspire you. Stay with us.
CardioFX from Longevity is designed specifically to promote optimal heart health. That's why Ben Fuchs recommends it.
You might want to think about using the Ultimate Cardio FX, which is a source of taurine. Each capsule in the Cardio FX has got a good dose of the B vitamins. It's got four major B vitamins in there, vitamin B12, niacin, vitamin B6, and folic acid. Numerous research studies have shown that the B vitamins and homocysteine, that toxic chemical that builds up in the body under B vitamin deficiency states, numerous studies have talked about lowering homocysteine as being far more relevant for protecting the heart than cholesterol numbers. If I was dealing with heart disease, I would be making sure I was getting enough B vitamins, I was getting enough vitamin C before I even thought about dealing with cholesterol or LDL or HDL.
If you're concerned about the health of your heart, order Cardio FX from Longevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470. Or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The House is expected to cut their recess short to take up the infrastructure package passed Tuesday by the Senate. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer said that the House would return in about 2 weeks on August 23rd to take up the bill and a larger budget resolution containing another $3-plus trillion worth of spending. The House was originally scheduled to return from recess on September 20th. The Senate has begun debate on the budget resolution with a marathon series of votes expected before it can pass. And a Texas judge has granted a temporary restraining order on Governor Greg Abbott's ban on mask mandates in schools. The ruling coming after a challenge to Abbott's order was filed by the city of San Antonio and Bexar County. The ruling from Bexar County Civil District Court Judge Tony Ortega will allow school districts to require masks to be worn in public schools until a full decision on the governor's executive order is made next week. This is USA Radio News. Two people are in custody in Chicago charged with the murder of a police officer. Lance Pry reports.
The Chicago Police Department reported Monday two brothers were arrested for the fatal shooting of Chicago police officer Ella French over the weekend. 21-year-old Amonte Morgan is charged with first-degree murder. His brother, 22-year-old Eric Morgan, was charged with unlawful use of a weapon and obstruction of justice. Although they have the most stringent gun laws in the country, David O'Neill Brown, superintendent of police in Chicago, says thousands of guns have been confiscated off the streets this year alone.
So far this year, Chicago police officers, the brave men and women of this fine department, have recovered 7,536 guns. That's a 23% increase over the same period a year ago.
From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
And Wisconsin Democratic Congressman Ron Kind announced Tuesday that he would not seek re-election next year after spending more than 24 years in the House. You're listening to USA Radio News.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
This book is such a game changer for people who are feeling sorry for themselves, for people who aren't living fully. Wait till I introduce you to Alan Tiffin. He is in South Africa, and he's written a book called My Life as I Know It as a renal patient. Wow. And he's got such a great support system. We were talking briefly off the air about his mom, about the fact that he's got these three sisters and a brother, and what life was like for him and some of the hardships that he had to go through, but really what got him through. So, Alan, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, it's so nice being here. And just knowing that the support structure of your family is so important. A lot of people are coming from broken homes, which is, when you're going through a hard time in a broken home, it's difficult to be able to find your own strength. And yes, then you got to you get motivated from myself, and obviously God gave me so much strength through believing that He was going to carry me through the difficult times. And it's not something that just comes to you. You've got to deal with it and feel it's a reality, that there is a structure there for you, supporting you.
Well, there were times in your life, right, where they didn't think you were going to make it.
Yeah, when I was about 2 years old, my whole family came to visit in hospital. And in my sister's notes, she said that she never knew that they were actually coming to say goodbye to me, which obviously was very hard when they found out that they might actually not see me coming home again. And there was another time when I was about 21 that I had an operation that I had to have, otherwise I'd land up in a wheelchair. That also there, my mom said, Alan, you can go if you want to. So she was giving me her way of giving me strength again, but in a way she was saying goodbye. But because mom was saying, there was one time I went with her, I went for a call up to see if a transplant was a good match for me. And I started crying in the lift. And I say to mom, I don't want this. And then mom started crying as well. And then I said to mom, Mom, if you stop crying, I will stop crying. So because she started crying, gave me that strength. She could feel for me. So that support structure I had was very important.
Yeah.
And I was lucky.
You were lucky. So you think the support structure got you through some of those really tough times?
This is not in the book, but just for the talk. Everyone in our family, the children, were given a bicycle when they were 10 years old. And it was my turn. I got my bicycle. Then it was my sister's turn. And she was the only one that she had a second-hand bike. So now for her, she was, in a way, she was left out. But it wasn't hard sore for her because she realized I needed my mother and my father at the time. I needed their strength. So she didn't feel left out because she was the last born and everything. But it was also, if you think deep down, it would have affected her. Feeling left out. I'm not as good as they were. Why did I get it? You know, so there's a question. So in our family, I needed everything my mom could give me. So my older slim beings, my sisters, the younger ones, they were left out. But it wasn't, they didn't ever hold it as a grudge against me. It was, they knew, you know what I mean, in a way. So it was that structure that I had that supported me a lot.
When you did this book and you decided to do this book, tell us a little bit, give us a little bit of the meat in the book. We don't want to give it completely away, but tell us what somebody will learn if they read your book.
I believe the main thing was that I mentioned, it was that, like, there's a light in every tunnel. The dark road could be very long, but there's always a light, and you've got to hold onto that speck of light. And here's another one. After every storm, there is a silver lining, and you've got to hold onto that lining. In my life, I've had a lot of little goals. And, I mean, I was never really stable financially, because of being so sick all the time. But I had little goals, and my biggest one was restoring my father's car, which is in the book, because he got married in that car, and then he got a company car, and I inherited the car, and I restored it, and my goal was to restore it for my brother's wedding, so they could get married in the same car, and I did it. And my other goal as a transplant patient, you want to achieve something that others will be able to see. And the ultimate goal for a transplant patient is to attend a transplant games, world games. And that was one of my dreams. I was let down. I couldn't make it because I lost my first transplant. So I couldn't make the Canadian games. But I had my transplant and I did the Australian games. And it was one of the most amazing experiences I had. Just being able to see other people like yourself going and getting into life.
Tell us about that. Wait a second. You can't just drop that on us, Alan. You got to tell all the listeners. What was it like being in Australia for those games?
It was incredible. And the most amazing thing was when I went to the games, and I met this girl, Canadian girl, and I just loved dancing. And I clicked with her. It was so amazing, and I clicked with her, and we danced so well the whole night that I even got locked out of my dorm or the hotel where I was. That was the whole thing, the first night and everything. Then you're going and supporting other teams throughout the world, doing their thing, which was so incredible. They trained hard for it. And the most amazing thing for me, I was doing swimming, and when I went to the Olympic pool in Australia, I didn't know about it, but my sister met me. She surprised me because she lives in Australia, and she met me at the pool, and she booked a log house, and he showed me around. And then she spent that time that I was by the pool. She stayed in her log house supporting me, which was so incredible. She did it for me. You know what I mean? So that was like, I just had so many tears in my eyes. I've got tears in my eyes now that she was there, encouraged me. Ella, I'm here to watch you. My other family couldn't be there because they're all in South Africa.
Wow. So tell us about getting a transplant. What was that like?
Well, I had three transplants. So that's like failing. And you can say I failed often in life. I didn't go to school much because I was on there. So I failed grade one. I failed my years at school because I didn't go to school. And you're always losing. You're getting let down. You're leaving your friends behind. You've got to make new friends. And a transplant as well. The first transplant I had, after the transplant, you've got to be matched. So you've got to be matched. It's got to be a perfect match. And anyway, you get a transplant. When I had my first transplant, there was no such thing as painkillers afterwards. Because they didn't want to put in the early days of study, they were still learning. I was the 36th transplant in the children's side in South Africa. So they didn't want to put painkillers onto the strain the kidney with painkillers. So you couldn't have that. So that was difficult. It was hard. It took you longer to recover. But when you had it and you had that energy again, you didn't have to go onto a life support machine. It was just, wow. And you felt healthy, which you never had before. But the hard thing was losing a transplant again. Then your mind's got to go, I've got to go back to that machine. You didn't want to do that. It was difficult. And the amazing thing about the last transplant I had, which I've got now, was you had painkillers. It was like no pain. What's going on? It was because they had the new knowledge, they concentrated on the healing part, not the pain part. So the pain, yeah, I was given morphine and no pain, which was amazing compared to my first experiences.
Wow, no kidding. So in your book, My Life as I Know It as a Renal Patient, wow, there is so many wows, and you've told us about a few of them for sure. What do you hope people walk away with when they read the book?
I want people to walk away with the gist to live, even through hard times. And you know, I've looked at other publishers a long time ago. Not that the book wasn't finished. I mean, I could have written a lot more in the book, but to me, it was just the right time to end at your peak doing the transplant game. Now, my gist was to get people just to have that hope that there is a hope and there is a, what's the word that I used? There is a silver lining. You just got to overcome it. You got to find it. You got to find the reason why you want to carry on. And everybody's got a reason. Sometimes it's hard away or it's tucked away within your heart and you lose that hope. You lose the dream that you had and you've got to find it again. So that's my main, people must have that gist to want to live.
Yeah, boy. Well said. Perfect place to end this. You can pick the book up on Amazon, like I said. Alan Tiffin, thanks for joining us.
And thanks so much for letting me meet you and be on your show.
you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th anniversary contest for better health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th anniversary contest for better health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Joins us, and he's written a fascinating children's book that really adults can certainly read this too, called Jerome. And our off-air conversation made me want to go to Nova Scotia and this wonderful place that he describes. Peter, thanks so much for coming on.
It's a pleasure.
Tell me about the road to writing Jerome and what it's all about.
Well, Sandy Cove is one of the most beautiful places you could ever imagine. It is right on the coast. It's on a peninsula south of Digby. And my mother-in-law was born there. And she remained there for about, 8 years, and then moved to the States. We started going up there about, 30-plus years ago. And we ultimately bought a cabin. And down below the cabin on a beach is a rock called Jerome's Rock. And it has an interesting history. A man was found in front of this rock in 1863, and he basically had no legs. And they don't know where he came from or how he got there. And ever since then, there's been a sense of mystery about Jerome, you know, the mystery of Jerome and all this and that and so forth. And we started going up there, and we had two corgis at that time, Copper and Andy. And we still continue to have corgis to this day. And I thought it would be kind of interesting to write a short story for kids about two corgis finding this bundle on the beach in front of this rock. And because that's basically what happened. A young man named Collie, who was part of the Albright family, lived in a cabin up where our cabin is now, but across the street. And the foundation is still there, and of this old building. And basically, Collie saw this, one of his kids saw this bundle and thought it was a dead seal, and went over to it, and it turned out to be this man with no legs and barely alive. He ran up the hill, got his grandmother, and they all came down and discovered basically what turned out to be Jerome. And the reason he was called Jerome was because the only words they could get out of his mouth sounded like Jerome. So they figured, oh, well, this is interesting. And as the story, the history of this, the true history of it goes on, some folks interpreted that as perhaps being Genoa, Italy. So maybe he came from Genoa. And there's a lot of interesting stuff that has come up over the years about this character, who I, after reading about him, I started to really feel kind of badly for him because he's suffered so tremendously, you know, throughout his life. He died in, I think it was 2009, and in Metegan, which is on the French shore. Because he lived in Sandy Cove for a while, people took care of him. And then they shuffled him off down to Metegan, and he lived a pretty miserable life. People didn't particularly find him, warm and comfortable. And he really didn't speak much. And so that's a little bit of the background. And our dogs, I decided to have them all of a sudden be able to speak in the book. So they can talk with Jerome. And so can their friend Otter can also speak to Jerome and through some sort of, you know, magic. And so they finally end up taking him up and putting him in this, well, what's really a cellar hole now across from our cabin. And they build a little place for him there. And basically some families in Sandy Cove decided it was time to move him up the neck to the poorhouse. Now, the poorhouse outside of Digby was this huge building, and it was scary as hell. I mean, it really looked awful, you know, later in years. And it burnt to the ground, actually, about, I think, 30 or 40 years ago. But anyway, so they took him up to the poorhouse, and where he remained briefly. And while they were in there, one of the dogs, Andy, had a coughing fit. And it turns out that when he'd been licking Jerome's hand on the beach, a ring had lodged on his tooth, which got spit out on the floor, and it was inscribed inside, and it looked to be a very strange language. So they took this this ring up to a man in Digby whose name was Stormy, and he was known to repair concertinas. And that comes in because I play the concertina, and I think I got to throw that in there. So he's repairing his concertina, and he reads the inscription, and he said, this looks to be, you know, Gaelic. And it turns out it indicated that Jerome might be of royalty. And so everybody got excited about that, and they got Jerome out of the poorhouse because they didn't want this bundle. As the director of the poorhouse referred to him as a bundle sitting in the corner, they didn't want this. So Jerome went back to Sandy Cove, and they built his hut really nicely. And the book ends with all the community surrounded by Jerome and Copper and Andy, all sort of around a big campfire on the beach. In a nutshell, that's sort of the story.
Oh, the story is wonderful, and such history that you also weave in knowing and loving that place. Peter, what do you hope kids and others who read it take away from reading Jerome?
Oh, I think probably how amazing dogs are. You know, the book really is about dogs. We've had corgis for a long time. And Copper and Andy were really very special. All of our dogs have been special. We have two right now, Bracken and, Dakin, which is Jane's family name. And they're really They're tough. They're great. and I think also this sense of history about Jerome to me is just fascinating, because this guy suffered so much, and how these dogs related to him. And the interesting thing, the mystery of Jerome, for some interesting reason, people didn't want to really publicize that they really think that Jerome basically was injured in a lumbering accident in New Brunswick, and that he was not really working there, but was evidently had gotten offloaded from a boat. And they think he was wandering around and managed to get injured by a tree that fell. And a community over there took him in and took care of him for I'm not sure how long, but then they decided he was too much of a burden on the parish, and they found somebody who they paid not a lot of money to take him theoretically back to Genoa. Well, this unscrupulous character basically put him on this boat and took him as far as he thought he should, which happened to be the beach in Sandy Cove, where they offloaded him. And so they think that probably that is the history, and it's pretty well documented, actually, that he'd lost his legs. And if you really look into it, you're going to discover that his legs were surgically removed by a pretty decent surgeon. And they think they know who that was and when it was and where it was. But there's an element of mystery that, you know, the community of Sandy Cove and those folks that live on Digby Neck, which mainly is comprised of, was historically and still is to a degree, handliners. But of course, people aren't handlining anymore. You know, they're going out in real boats, fishing boats and lobstering and scalloping. But this mystery has kept them going, and still there's a sign, the mystery of Jerome. And Julia Sawyer, in her book that she wrote in 1942 called Fog Magic, certainly carried that on, because she mentions Jerome in that book, and just a whole sort of interesting history behind this character.
Boy, no kidding. Was this a joy to write this book for you? It certainly sounds like it.
Yeah, I had a good time. It was fun. but I'll have to say, you know, because you wrote, and I don't know whether you still write now or not, but proofreading is a nightmare. I mean, because you're always worried you're going to miss something, and of course you do. And then all of a sudden, oh, my God, you know, and you have to go back and revise. and I've just finished working on a book of short stories and poems, which is sort of autobiographical. that was fun because, you know, if you write poems at times, I wrote a poem when Bertram, one of our corgis, died. And, you know, it's the last poem in this book, and I read it. When I read it, I'm back there almost in tears.
I love it. That says something about your poetry, that's for sure. We can't wait for that to come out. Peter Liebert, the book is Jerome. You can pick it up on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. It really is a very, very good book. I encourage you to go and get it. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Well, you're welcome. And what a treat.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet. Stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.